business enough going for you. How's that? Do you like that?
This is the Freedom Feeds. I am Nima Badadi coming to you live. It is Sunday, June 16th, Father's Day for all you fathers and expectant fathers out there. What's up, Mr. Michael W. Dean out there in your windowless bunker? How you doing today?
This is Mr. Michael Dean broadcasting live and worldwide from my windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west of the occupied states of America in Beast Lake, Wyoming. Beautiful, sunny, downtown, windy Beast Lake, Wyoming, which is in, you know, my county is a coyote stole my baby county, Wyoming.
Beast Lake, lots of good kayaking and fishing out there, isn't there?
Yeah, and lots of beasts. Yeah. You can shoot them. Shoot the beasts.
We got to lick them.
Beast Lake, Wyoming. Yeah, it's the cats prune each other by licking, and it's not a bad thing. It's radio friendly, okay. Even. We want to welcome KBFS in Rapid City, South Dakota. It's Belle Fouche. Belle Fouche. We like the name. And it is one of the country.
It's French for something, isn't it?
They're pretty beautiful forks, and it is it is the smaller sister of the country twins, and the big giant honking wonderful sister of the country twins is KYDT in Sundance, Sundance, Wyoming, on 25,000 earth scorching watts of truth going out across the entire free-ish state of Wyoming and some part of the Free State Wyoming Project. And I want to shout out to them. Yeah, what's up, Nima?
25, isn't that what they call a flamethrower? 25,000 watts?
Yeah, I know that you can like microwave food just standing outside the station. People just show up, you know, at lunchtime. They just come in from the oil fields and they just put a roast on a picnic table that they have out in front of the station. In about 10 minutes.
They put their hot dogs on a plate and like raise it up to the sky in both palms.
Yeah,
palms
and you know, raised, actually, like this station can be picked up all the way past Mount Rushmore and at Mount Rushmore. Now, I was thinking, what if somebody got, now we wouldn't do this, although it'd be perfectly legal. I don't see why not. But what if somebody got a bunch of those little 99-cent AM radios from the 99-cent store, tuned them to KYDT, epoxied them on that frequency and put a sticker on it with the times that were on there and then handed them out to people at Mount Rushmore. You put a little American flag on the back of it and it'd be like, all right, here, you know, you can look at these politicians from back in the day, and then you can hear about what's going on with the politicians today and why they're bad while you do it. Yeah.
Why the bad, McCoy. Well, we also talk about why the politicians back in the day were bad, McCoy, as well. So,
Yeah,
I don't know, man. It would be great if we were on, you know, at daytime, and maybe it'd work better in the summertime, too, when actually families are out there.
Oh, but I looked up their hours, Mount Rushmore. They're open till 10 p.m. at night, and we're on there at 7 to 9, so...
That doesn't mean that people are out there with their strollers and their baby carriers at 9 p.m.
sunset while listening to the Freedom. The sunset from George Washington's forehead while listening to the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was some movie. It was a Native American movie. I think it was made by a Native American. It was about Native Americans. And at the end, the guy, it's like this cathartic scene where he takes red paint to the top of Mount Rushmore and like splashes it on George Washington's head. So he has red on his face. And I can't recall the movie. Do you?
No, I don't know about that. I just know about the Hitchcock movie where they have the battle in the innermost chamber is like a fist fight with guns on, you know, Lincoln's nose or something. Is Lincoln on that thing?
It's George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Lincoln, and Roosevelt, I think. We should confirm that.
Oh, they're all the same, though, man.
Who cares?
Aren't they pretty much?
Pretty close.
All politicians. Well, I don't know. Some are less bad than others. And some, you know, the ones that really talk the talk on freedom that I believe, you know, are also the ones that owned people. So I don't know how much you can look to them for.
Thomas Jefferson's words were great and the Declaration of Independence was great. But
I love that thing.
It's hard to take that seriously when you own people. Yeah, exactly.
Declaration of Independence is somewhere between a Dear John letter and a declaration of war.
Yeah. Yeah, if we just stuck to that, that'd be fine. Who needs the Constitution?
And then
let's just stick with the Declaration.
Obama actually stood in front of it a few years ago, like stood in front of the actual Declaration of Independence sealed in helium in the National Archives and like took away some of the rights for it. And we're going to get into taking away rights and how the government's spying on you 24/7 and how of all things, like Dale Gribble from King of the Hill was right. And what I think what I think someone should do is do a montage of all the politicians that are now saying, yeah, we spy on you. Yeah, we do what we want. And get them like a few years back saying, these crazy people who think the government's spying on them, because a lot of them did it, man. Pelosi comes to mind, that skunk Pelosi.
Yeah, well, you were saying things like, well, you know, Pelosi used to be anti all this stuff. And I was like, well, the first time I remember Pelosi was not her being not in power, you know, in the minority party in Congress, but it was when she ascended to Speaker of the House and realizing that. Realizing that everything, because I was a Democrat back then, and realizing that everything I thought the Democrats stood for, they didn't actually. And once they got in power, they didn't do any of the civil liberties or anti-war stuff I had wanted them to do. Instead, they just became the same stooges that you would expect them to be, or that you would, that I would expect them to be now.
Yeah, and before we get into Father's Day and what Obama's doing to it, I have a correction from yesterday. I said that we talked about that phrase, the only ones. The government think they are, quote, the only ones, unquote, smart enough to have guns or smart enough to blank. Fill in the blank. Whatever it is, only they think they can do it.
The problem is it's not just them who think that. It's people out there, average Joe citizen, thinks that there are people in the state and in the government that are the only ones qualified enough to hold this Glock 40.
Yep. And I do want to have a, I want to issue a correction. I said that the phrase the only ones was made up by I think it's Mike Vandebau, but what I'm announcing one thing is that we're going to have him on as an interview next weekend. So we will find out how to correctly pronounce his name. And is it next weekend? No, it's the following weekend. It's the 30th, Sunday, June 30th. Okay. He's going to be on. So, but what he said was he didn't come up with that name. He just uses it all the time. And he thinks David Kadria came up with it. I wrote David Kadria. I haven't heard back from him yet. Now, David Kadria and Mike V, they're both bloggers, but it's easy to confuse what they do because they do so much together. It's kind of like the Freedom Fiends or the Beatles. Like, you know, every song says Lennon and McCartney, but one guy or the other wrote it. So, but what they are best known for, and it's really cool, and I was into them way before this. I was into them before they were cool, is those are the guys who broke the Fast and Furious story. And we're going to talk with Mike about that. And we'll have David Kadria on at some
point,
too.
Remind our audience what the Fast and Furious story is. It's not about stick shifts and fast cars, is it?
No, it sure does sound like that. It's, you talk about it, man. I don't even want to talk about that. It just,
Well, that was the scandal that out that Eric Holder's Justice Department, and maybe it was even before Holder, too, but
Bush had one, too.
Helping to arm the drug cartels that they favored, maybe it was just all drug cartels, or at least the select few.
No, it was the ones
in Mexico.
It was the ones they favored. Okay, there were two different operations. The Bush one was basically arming the cartels that would give information on the other cartels. So it was the ones they liked. Okay. Yeah, it was the snitches. They were arming the snitches. And that evolved into Holder's people doing it basically to denigrate the Second Amendment. You know, basically saying, look at all of these guns that this drug cartel we've created by outlawing drugs has.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's just, to me, it's a result of the only ones having the power to do all this heinous stuff. I mean, they literally played games and do play games with people's lives. Think of all the deaths. It was something like 40,000 drug war deaths in Mexico over the past, 6 years? Maybe it was a decade. But 40,000 people dead. And I'm sure a lot of those were at the hands of these guns or these gangs holding these guns that Eric Holder gave them. And he doesn't care. As long as it reaches his political goals, that's all that matters to him.
Guns don't kill people. The government does.
Eric Holder does.
Yeah, I have a t-shirt that's got Dale Gribble from King of the Hill, who is the nutty conspiracy theorist on King of the Hill. And I said earlier, like, who would have thunk it? He was right about everything, you know? Everyone that's been called crazy is right about everything. But I have a t-shirt with a Dale Gribble quote and a picture of him on it. And it says, guns don't kill people. The government does. And, you know, it just turns out more and more that it seems like the government or some parts of the government just basically want you dead if you don't want to comply with all their new edicts.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really sad. And I don't know if the crazies get everything right. But I think the thing that they do get right is that distrust in the state and in the government. And maybe they don't always come to the right conclusions because of that, but the distrust is spot on. And the opposite of that, the people who say, well, it's okay if the NSA spies on me because I have nothing to hide, and I trust them to only go after the really bad guys when they're spying, that is what enables the state to have its giant force,
tendrils,
basically in opposition to the people, right? I mean, here's the thing is, in The Art of War, Sun Tzu says you need to you must know your enemy. You know, basically that's one of the most important things, is to know your enemy and know yourself. And if the state thinks it should know everything about us, its citizens, doesn't that mean it considers us the enemy?
Well, and they're the only ones who are allowed to spy on us. If a citizen reveals something that they've done, like Snowden did, all of a sudden they want to charge him with treason.
Right.
They're the only ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like somebody said, if the NSA has all these phone records, can we hear the phone records from the Benghazi scandal? I mean, can we hear all of these things? Can we hear Bush and Rumsfeld talking to each other on the phone about how they're going to lie the American people into a war in Iraq?
I lost my Bitcoin password.
We can't.
I lost my Bitcoin password. I wish the NSA would give it back to me because I've got about $700 worth of Bitcoin I can't access. I'm sure they've got my, you know, maybe I should do a FOIA request to get my Bitcoin password back.
Yeah. Some goon probably already used it to buy, I don't know, a bunch of pay-per-view episodes of American Idol. on demand.
Or America's Kids Got Dancing. Or
Got Singing.
That ATF show where they kick down doors. You know, I heard some quote the other day. I forget where it was, but it was some medium-sized town, I think in the South, where some local goon was bragging, we do an average of one drug house raid a day in this town. And I'm thinking, like, they're basically saying we're a gang and we're running up into houses, yo, and we do a kidnapping and a home invasion every day, yo. Imagine if the Crips or the Bloods or some gang, you know, put up a YouTube video that bragged and they were doing it and said, yeah, we run up into houses once a day in this town and kidnap somebody and take their stuff. Imagine that, man.
Yeah.
They would declare martial law because they would be considered ineffective. But the same people who'd be instituting martial law are the people running up into houses, yo. We'll be back on The Fiends in Wyoming. In Wyoming. Yeah. Beast Lake.
Yeah.
Beast Lake.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from Indoctrination.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Freedom Fiends. It's your boy, Nima Vidati, and we've got Michael W. Dean as well. This is the Freedom Fiends Live on Faja's Day. Did you call your Faja today, Mr.
I called
Dean?
My father. Yeah, I called my dad, and it was good. My dad's 91. We've actually had him on the show before. And he said Obama is a liar, he's a socialist, and his feet stink. And we took a clip of that and made a hippin' and hoppin' rap video with it that he liked.
A rap musical video.
Yeah, as he says. And if you want to go on YouTube and search Obama's feet stink, you'll be able to hear that. It's not probably radio friendly, but it is.
The subtitle
YouTube
friendly. Is Romney loves the smell, too. So yeah. It's not just, well... It is. It's about both of them. It's not just about Obama. There's a segment in there where we do a fake debate. One rapper is Obama, and me, I play in whiteface Mitt Romney.
Yeah. Yep.
And we go back and forth basically agreeing with each other on everything that's bad. Like we said a few episodes ago, a few shows ago, anything that the left and right agree on or the Democrats and Republicans agree on, that's what you got to watch out for. Those are the worst things, is the thing that they're bipartisan on.
Yep. And you asked me if I celebrate Father's Day, even though I had a kid and my kid's dead. No, I don't. I mean, I celebrate it because...
I didn't use those words, though. I was like, well, do you celebrate Father's Day even though your kid's dead?
Well,
I didn't say that.
It was understood because I don't have a living child. And I said, no, it's kind of like, you know, if you were divorced and single and people said, hey, it's Valentine's Day. How do you feel about that? I'm like, not great. Mm. But, you know, my daughter died of cancer, and she, part of how I have avenged her death, not that it's anyone's fault that I know of, but part of what I've done is I've become a freedom fighter for marijuana legalization, because she was not a pot smoker. She did not like drugs. But when she was dying of cancer and getting chemo, which was trying to save her, she was smoking pot because a doctor recommended it, and she broke the law to do it. And the thought that some politician could throw my sick kid in a cage for the only thing that gave her comfort just incensed me, and it made me a marijuana legalization activist. And I didn't say decriminalization. I didn't say medical marijuana only. I mean, the stuff is it's nobody's business if you got some plants, man. And the drug war, any harm that any drug causes, not just pot. And I don't do drugs. I've been sober alcoholic since, you know, clean and sober, as they say, clean since 94. I don't do drugs. But part of being a real freedom person, or even a real conservative, if you want to put it that way, is not wanting to outlaw things that you don't do, which is a big problem with the horizontal enforcement of the state. Yeah. And I also will point out that if you're a gun owner and you are for the drug war, you might as well throw your guns away right now, because the drug war leads to gun decriminalization. They use it as an excuse because they want to control every aspect of our lives. And the same people that are kicking in doors now and running up into houses, yo, and bragging about it and spending tax dollars to do it are the same people, literally, who are going to be running up into your house and getting your guns in a few years. And they ain't gonna have no more Waco Ruby Ridges. They're not going to let that happen because that creates martyrs. What they're going to do is they're going to get you on the way back from the dentist. You know, they're going to get you in the post office. They're going to get you where you don't have your arsenal handy. And they are just going to handcuff you and then take the keys out of your pocket and say, got any guns, governor? All right, I'll just take that. And they're going to go to your home and just take that.
And if they do raid you and there are government SWAT team boots on the ground, those SWAT troops, they're not even going to really know or care that it's just a thing about, oh, well, this person has been decided to be mentally unstable, so we're taking his guns. You know, some insider in that, quote, industry, if you want to call it that, wrote a thing about how it's going to work. Is it's going to be late at night. There's going to be a briefing. The person giving the briefing isn't going to mention what the person did wrong or talk about warrants. He's just going to say, this is a really bad guy. You know, we got to do this. We got to take this guy off the streets. It's for the safety of the community. Now you guys go out there. And then he's going to go right into the tactics of it. There's not going to be any philosophy involved. There's not going to be any real moral justification. Those guys with the SWAT stuff on, all they care about is seeing some action and doing their job so they can get a promotion, and that's what they're going to do.
And those are people that probably say, I believe in the Second Amendment, you know, and they're probably people who vote for politicians that they think will protect their Second Amendment rights. And interestingly, that guy who wrote that thing, he wasn't currently in that industry. He was former. I think it was it ATF or something else? I think it was ATF. It might have been DEA. I'm not sure. But he used his real name on it. And I wrote that guy and asked him to do an interview a couple days later. And he's like, I can't do that. So no, I think that he got some blowback from doing that article, basically from his fellow goons.
Mayhaps. It reminds me so much of, there's a Facebook meme floating around with a picture of a cop on it. And the top caption says, "Drugs will ruin your life." The bottom says, "So if I catch you doing them, I'll throw you in jail and ruin your life."
Yeah.
And we'll be back with more life-affirming market activity after this.
Real market activity, not that fake government stuff.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Fiends, that's what we is. That's what you're listening to. This is Nima Vidati. We've also got Michael W. Dean.
Hello.
It is Fajr's Day, the 16th of June, and we are live. What's it do?
Yeah, this is Mr. Michael Dean. I have an analogy for why we're all doomed. We're not really all doomed, and we're going to talk about solutions in the second part, and they don't involve riflemanship. They do involve education, although we like rifles, and we have rifles, and you know, our understanding of the right to bear arms is, we're armed right now. We are armed right now. We're trying to get our engineer armed, because we feel like our engineer in Minnesota should be armed, because someone might come in
and defend the audio board if it's attacked.
Yeah. If there's a coup and the, you know, Obama youth storm the, you know, they, I mean, that's the first thing they take over in a coup is the radio stations. And this goes out to a bunch of radio stations. So we need to protect it.
And the Obama youth, you saw Obama doing some kind of photo op where he was kissing babies like he was Joseph Stalin or Chairman Mao, didn't you?
Well, I was actually hanging out the other day for a Father's Day event before Father's Day with some at-risk youth. I guess he didn't really want to, like, I don't want to really hang out with them on Father's Day, but I'll do it on Thursday. You know, he hung out with some inner city teenage boys that didn't have fathers. And basically, like, what he was saying was, I'm your father. I'm your federal father. It's federal paternalism. The government... they call themselves that now, the federal family. They don't want to say the federal government anymore, because that's a dirty word that you almost can't even say on radio. It's so filthy and horrible. You know what I've seen really funny, and I'm trying to get her on for an interview at some point, Claire Wolf. I don't know if she came up with this, but when she writes the word taxes, she makes the A an asterisk. Like, it's a dirty, it's a four-letter word. She doesn't want to type out the whole word.
I believe they exist, so is what I would say to that.
Yeah. But I want to talk about moths and how they are a good analogy for people. Right. Now, there's a lot of people who rattle their sabers and say, we're going to take back America. And it's like, it's so too late for that. Like, look, 70 years ago, that might have worked. Probably not. I mean, when did all the vets march on? Yeah, when was that? When they just slayed American soldiers for marching on Washington?
It was in between World War One and World War Two. I can't pin it down to a closer date than that. I guess I could wiki it, but
who were the people who were looked at as military heroes that were killing U.S. military decorated vets that day for asking for their pay they were owed?
I know it was at least Patton, but maybe. Douglas MacArthur too.
Yeah.
Not 100% on that. But it was definitely people who got promoted for basically killing and attacking vets who were marching on Washington to get their war bonuses a tad bit early because they couldn't feed their families because of the depression caused by Herbert Hoover and FDR. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got three cats. My wife and I have three cats, and two of them are brothers that are about 6 years old. They're in the prime of their life. They are just energetic, bouncing off walls, really healthy. We call them the Squittens. And they were, we got them from an animal shelter. I don't know if they were abused or just abandoned, but we got them at 6 months, and like they wouldn't let us touch them for like a week. I mean, they were really scaredy, and they're still scaredy. Like someone comes into our house as a guest and they run in the basement and hide for like an hour till like an hour after they leave. They're getting better at it. We don't have a lot of guests, but they do. If someone's here for like 5 hours, you know, the last 2 hours they're here, the Squittens will come upstairs and be like peering around the corner at them. But then there's Charlie. Charlie's a lady. Charlie's 15, which is really old for a cat. But she's still really healthy. She's really plump, but she loves to just lay in the backyard in the sun. She basically lives in the enclosed backyard. And I go out and hang out there with her during the day. And it's really, she goes out in the winter. She's really hardy. And she hunts. At 15, she brings me decapitated birds as love offerings. And the reason cats do that is because you feed them all the time whenever they need it. You are a good hunter in their eyes. So they go and hunt and bring you something. And the reason they remove the head and the feet is because those parts don't taste good. So they are preparing you a meal. And our, you know, a 15-year-old lady cat, I mean, that's like a 78-year-old or 80-year-old human woman. But she can still run. She can still chase down and kill little beasts. The Squittens, who are much younger and healthier and vibrant, have never killed anything bigger than an insect. And they're afraid to go outside. But they still have all these instincts to hunt. You know, they will run and yell at things and insects. And last night there was a moth in the house. And one of the Squittens was just freaking out, like acting like a mighty hunter and jumping and running, and would actually get it and then not be able, it wasn't just playing with it, it was trying to get it, but it would get away from him. So he wasn't really, he was a saber rattler. Eventually, I wounded the moth with a fly swatter and threw it to the cat, and he acted like, I am the mighty hunter, I have captured it. And he ate it and crunched it, and I had to hear it. But I think that that's a good analogy for a lot of people who say, you know, we're going to march on Washington and rattle our sabers and we're going to be able to shoot anything and that's going to bring back America. No, man, they got drones. They won't even have Ruby Ridges. They're just going to drone you. The only battle to win now is intellectual. And we're going to talk more in the second hour about that. But did you have more to say on that, or you want to go into the NSA while the NSA goes into us?
Exactly. I think the NSA is a big turning point or milestone in the intellectual battle because it's like, see, this is what they think of you. They think of you as, like you said, the federal family, and it's, and Barack Obama and the NSA are snooping through your sock drawers constantly.
Dad, come on, Dad. Be cool, Dad. And you were cool when you were running for office. Why aren't you cool anymore?
Right. Well, and people were complaining and going after Snowden and Greenwald, saying that, well, Greenwald, you said that according to Snowden, there's direct access, and so that's how we know Snowden's lying, is because the NSA doesn't have direct access. But then the NSA admitted in a story that came out yesterday, they acknowledged that it does not need court authorization to listen to domestic phone calls. If the NSA wants to, quote, listen to the phone, an analyst decision is sufficient without any other legal authorization required. And that's what I guess Representative Gerald Nadler learned when he was grilling the NSA at a recent hearing.
All I got to say is, told ya. People been calling me crazy. Right. I mean, I said in 1996, I posted on my website, I said, and I was kind of half joking but half serious, and I said, I think the internet is just a big government plot to read everyone's mail without having to steam open envelopes. And people called me crazy. And we've been saying for 2 years on the Freedom Fiends, the central scrutinizer is listening to us. We have advertisements that talk about what we call the central scrutinizer, which is Frank Zappa used to call that. That was his word for the people that wanted to censor his records. But it's our word for the beast that wants to tap our phones and read our email. And we have an ad for a secure phone. And we started running that ad 2 weeks before this Snowden thing broke. I mean, we're ahead of the curve and people were calling us crazy. People were calling us crazy. I really think someone should do a montage of all those politicians who are now saying, yeah, we're spying up on you. We're running up into your phone, yo. I want to see a YouTube clip after clip of Pelosi and Obama and all those people saying, no, we wouldn't spy on you, or them being against it and voting against it before they were running the whole thing.
Well, I think it's important to make the distinction, though. I don't think it was some plot to invent the internet to spy on us.
No,
but I think
that was the kidding part of it.
Right. The state takes advantage of any crisis or any situation that allows them to gain or garner more power and more surveillance over their citizens, because surveillance to them equals power. And so that's why Naomi Wolf recently caught a bunch of flack for saying basically she's a Snowden truther. She thinks Snowden is a government agent who leaked this on purpose because it benefits the police state for the citizens to know that they're being watched
I don't think so, man.
I don't think so, but I think it can benefit the police state, and if it does, I think that now the state will use that to its benefit or attempt to spin it towards their benefit. I think the state is inherently reactive, not really proactive, and so they respond. It's the ratchet effect. That famous writer wrote it in a book called Crisis and Leviathan. Robert Higgs, maybe? I can't remember. But basically, whenever there's a crisis, the government ratchets up their taking and stomping on our freedom, but then they never ratchet it down. So over time, they get more and more tyrannical. And they don't plan these crises, but they know that stuff will happen. So they wait until something bad happens, like 9/11, and then they swoop in and do all the horrible things that they had been keeping on the back burner for just such an occasion, a rainy day, so to speak.
Well, I'm not I'm not one of those people who believe the government made September, 9/11 happen, but I'm certainly one of those actions of our government led to it happening, which Ron Paul predicted from the congressional floor a few years earlier. Here's a couple interesting things. June 30th, 2006, Bloomberg News, which is owned partially by the evil empire, emperor of New York City, who's the nanny state on hyper government grade steroids. But that magazine does have some truth in it. And they reported in 2006 that the NSA asked AT&T to help it set up domestic call monitoring 7 months before the September 11th, 2001 attacks. So they were ready and they were doing this anyway, but they just used that as an excuse. Now, the Bush administration defended its activities while neither specifically confirming or denying the existence of potentially illegal program. And I want to contrast. Yesterday we talked about how Sean Hannity has no morals, because he basically, when Bush was in office, he was like, Patriot Act, good. If they're spying on your phones, who cares? And we played clips of this yesterday. And now that Obama's doing it, he's like, this is an affront to the Constitution. This is horrible, when his guy's not in office. But I want to talk about a consistent conservative, and it's Pat Robertson, because in 2006, when Bush was in office, Pat Robertson called the NSA's wiretapping a tool of oppression. And he also, if you looked in the dictionary under conservative Christian, there'd be a picture of Pat Robertson. He is one of the, he's the example you'd hold up, because he is so that. And he also recently said that we should end the drug war, and because it wasn't helping and it was costing money and it was hurting people more than it was helping them. So my hat's off to him as what I think a conservative Christian should be. Somebody who doesn't want to throw people in prison for smoking a joint, and he does not like spying on everybody, even when a Republican's doing it. So good for him.
I'll give him kudos for that. I find his stances on some things to be really ignorant. He's very intolerant of some other cultures, specifically Muslim cultures and the Islamic world. I can't jump on board and say I'm a Pat Robertson fan, but yeah, I will give credit where credit is due. All those things you said, credit is due for those things, definitely. And we'll be back after this trip to the market.
Worms.
We're listening listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Need to talk to people in a secure manner? Liberty Private Network sells phones that will work over any good internet connection and give you military-grade encryption for calls that cannot be tapped. Great for lawyers and clients, business people with trade secrets, or just ordinary folk who don't want their love talk spied on by some scumbag from the central scrutinizer. Call 516-TLK-SAFE on your non-secure phone and tell them the Freedom Fiends sent you. That's 516-TLK-SAFE.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker Podcast. I'll teach you the difference between the government and the state, why the government is nothing without the state, and how to dissolve the state while remaining peaceful and even calm. I knew the state was a losing proposition decades before that was cool. Check out the Bad Quaker Podcast at badquaker.com. We have a forum and it's got gardening tips. That's badquaker.com.
Yo, it's the Freedom Fiends live. Last segment of this first hour of our show on Fajr's Day, Sunday, June 16th. I'm Nima Vidadi. We've also got Michael W. Dean. You speak fish?
Yes. My wife says that when I do talk radio, that's kind of, and she says this with total love. She loves that I do this, and she does all our bumps on the ads and voices them with her sultry voice, but she says from the other room, I basically sound like a turkey that had too much caffeine. It's rabid going.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Well, so hopefully people like it.
NSA. So, is that short for NASA? No, actually NSA preceded NASA, but they work hand in hand. You know, when you say we got to spend more money on NASA, you're probably spending more money on the NSA somehow. Cause it is funded like through black sites and black accounting and like, it's not in the budget, you know?
Yeah. Well, in one of the articles, I think it was either in that same CNET article by Declan McCullough or in the article he wrote the day before he wrote the one where the NSA admits that it can listen to anybody at any time. He got an estimate from somebody on how much it would cost to keep all the data that they get. You know, actually the content too, I think. Let me look. Well, it's irrelevant at this point, I guess.
He says
about $23 million. But the estimated budget, even though it's classified, the estimated budget of the NSA is $10 billion. And that site in Utah is supposed to cost, what, $1.5 trillion?
Well, they're talking about measuring the data that they're going to be keeping there in Yoda bytes, which I guess Star Wars reference. I don't know. But I looked up Yoda bytes and, okay, a single Yoda byte, and they're talking about plural, more than one Yoda byte, a Yoda byte to store it on 64 gig SD cards, you know, the things that fit in your digital camera or whatever, you would need a pile of them the size of the Great Pyramid of Giza. So that's what they're working on, is several batches that size.
Insanity. And back to the NSA and Stossel. Libertarians and first principles. Yes, Stossel. He's a libertarian of some sway and some weight, and he's in the national spotlight. And I used to be a big fan of him when I was a kid. I would spend
the
Friday nights.
He's the gateway
nights.
Drug to real liberty, man.
But before he was a libertarian, I was a fan of his. I used to watch him on 2020 when I was in my Bart Simpson sleeping bag in my parents' bedroom, because I would have sleepovers with my parents on Friday nights. And one of the things we would do is we watch 2020 and watch John Stossel. And
you're a nerd, man. You are a nerd, and that's cool. But you're basically saying when I was a kid, I'd have sleepovers and watch the news. That's like Lisa Simpson, man.
Okay, fine, fair enough. But what this new article, he wrote an op-ed, say why libertarians have better things to worry about than the NSA. And I think it shows that Stossel achieved his libertarianism, or comes at it from a place of practicality
instead of morality.
He doesn't hate the state. He doesn't hate the concept of powerful overlords controlling everybody, but he thinks that libertarian public policy is more efficient and better, almost in a Milton Friedman-esque kind of way. And one of the things he says here in this article is he brings up 2 points on why libertarians shouldn't be worried about the NSA. Number one, terrorists do want to murder us, he says in this Reason article. And he goes on to say, if the NSA is halfway competent, big data should help detect plots. Now, it's really interesting that he puts this as number one, because just 2 paragraphs before, he says that the government's claim that it prevents terror is weak and that the snooping may be unnecessary. And he can't point to any specific instance when it did actually stop a plot, and it there sure have been successful terror plots.
It didn't stop the Boston thing, and they had, like, they'd looked at his Facebook page.
Right. Yeah. And so that to me is weaker than Stossel even says. And if he's saying it's weak, then how come he's basing his point that it's okay on the fact that it might detect plots? Also, as we said a few episodes ago, it's actually counterproductive. You can make the argument that stacking all this data up from everybody actually makes it to where you can't target the actual terrorists or the actual plots, because you have to sift through so much data, it's almost infinite, and it becomes nearly impossible to actually find what's a plot and what's not, and what's just people making fun of the NSA or people reading a script. And second, he says, my electronic privacy has already been utterly shredded by Google, Amazon, YouTube, and so on. Now, that's not a good point either, because Google, Amazon, and YouTube don't have the power to indefinitely detain you. They don't have the power to send a SWAT team to your house. The worst they can do with the information they gather from you is put an ad on your Gmail, put an ad in your Google search to say, hey, don't you want to buy this product? Which you can decide not to buy. So that argument falls flat too. So Stossel, learn about the non-aggression principle and up your game, homie. All right, we'll be back after this trip to the market.
For hour two of the Freedom Fiends with solutions for liberty.
I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about LibPair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Yeah, it's the Freedom Fiends, hour two. Thank you for sticking with us. I'm Nima Vidati. We've also got Michael W. Dean. What to do, Michael? Michael? All right, so I don't hear my... Oh, there you go. There you go.
Hello.
Holla, holla, holla.
I am broadcasting from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location that's actually been disclosed to be Beast Lake, Wyoming, which is in beautiful, sunny, windy downtown Coyote Took My Baby County, Wyoming.
Poor you. Poor you. It must be sad on Father's Day to have your kids taken by coyotes.
They bring them back. They just indoctrinate them in state schools and bring them back.
And how to be a parasite. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. So gunmen in Pakistan killed 2 anti-polio workers. I just heard it on the news break there during the break time.
Gunmen. They should call them murder men. They're not gunmen.
Murder men. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. It's not the fact that they had guns that killed people. They killed the people, allegedly, I guess. Well, no, because people did get killed by dudes. They just don't know who they were. But this is in Pakistan. Now, I'm not sure if it was yesterday's show or if it was our Wednesday podcast that we discussed this, but we discussed the fake vaccine program that the CIA did in Pakistan, ostensibly to help catch Osama bin Laden. They were actually taking DNA samples of the children they were vaccinating to see if there was a genetic link between some of these kids and Osama bin Laden's DNA. And we talked about how there could be unintended consequences, how there could be blowback. back. And, you know, a few different options we had thought of for unintended consequences, but one of them has come to pass. Today, the AP and ABC News is reporting that two anti-polio workers were killed in northwest Pakistan. The two attackers shot two Pakistani health workers while they were on vaccination drive in rural Kandahar. No one claims responsibility for the attack, but some Pakistani militant groups oppose the vaccinations and accuse the workers of spying for the U.S. So now there's a situation where militant groups there target, apparently, vaccine workers, people trying to eradicate polio.
Who knows, though? It could be the CIA. And I'm kind of trepidatious saying that, like, dare I say that? But the CIA brags that that's what they do. I mean, you look at any spy movie that's made with their cooperation. And it's like,
hold on. You think the anti-polio workers could be CIA, or you think the gunmen could be CIA?
I think both of them could be CIA or something.
Yeah.
Some, you know, I mean, there's actually parts of the government that are even more shadowy than the NSA now. That who knows what they are, man? They could have the murder agency. I mean, isn't that what the CIA is?
Kind of.
I mean, they are in fiction. I don't know how much that's based on reality, but. When something's secret, you can only imagine the worst, right? Although there's facts of the CIA doing things like, you know, giving a whole town the flu by spraying them from the air in the 60s and, you know, giving a scientist LSD and not telling him and he jumps out a window, or doing the same thing to American soldiers. It's fact. That's not even conspiracy. They admit that stuff now.
Well, they also run a good portion of the drone program, which is basically just killing, you know, close to indiscriminately often. Well, and indiscriminately, because there are, quote, collateral damage even on the targeted attacks.
We've said it before, but I want to say it again on record. If Nima and I are ever found dead of an apparent suicide, a drug overdose, or a car crash, there was probably a government agency behind it. Or a weird flu or cancer. Yeah, anything.
Yeah,
anything other than dying of old age on the radio, like we plan to do.
Yeah, Kendrick Lamar has a line about that. If I ever die, make sure to find out who in the government killed me, or something to that effect.
Yeah,
but yeah, man, that's a sentiment. Now, you know what I was wondering over the break is, okay, so there's the NSA, it's spying and yada yada. What kind of role, or who would be collecting data on people in a LibPair situation? Would you have vast amounts of records being kept on people?
What's LibPair, Nima? What's LibPair?
LibPair. That's our term for libertarian paradise. That's our thought experiment town, where we imagine what life would be like without the overbearing state controlling everybody with their monopoly of violence.
Well, fiction is often a good... since you don't have anything else, you know, you can look at fiction. I mean, this morning I said to you on the phone, my wife is afraid of chromed robot turds. Chromed robot turds are our term for, you know, handheld miracle Android phone computer things. And you said, who wouldn't be? What did you mean by that?
I was taking you too literally. I was thinking of actual turds from robots.
Okay. I was thinking, like, boy, that's a lot of technology for everyone to have in their hand, and it can be used to spy on you. But... you know, I'm kind of wondering, chromed robot turds.
Well, I guess the way it would work, at least the way I'm thinking of it now, is...
Scott Beezer. Scott Beezer's LibPair. Okay, what I was going to say is that chromed robot turds are basically the Star Trek communicator. When I was a kid, I'd watch TV and I'd watch Star Trek and be like, wouldn't it be cool to have some little handheld device that you could talk to anybody in the universe with? And now you basically can, anybody in the world. And you have all this power in your hand. And it's too much power to the point where the powers that be say, we need to use that power against you. And people were called crazy for it. I mean, I remember something in 30 Rock a few years ago where they had some crazy teabag politician. And Jack says to him, what's your phone number? Do you have a cell phone? And the guy's like, I'm going to keep a CIA tracking device in my pocket all day. And that was the joke. The joke was he was crazy, but apparently that's what they are. And if you look at fiction, you know, where the Star Trek communicator became the cell phone and the Android computer in your pocket or the iPhone. I think it could also be a good indication to answer your question. What would LibPair be like? I mean, look at Scott Beezer's comics. There's a cop in there who is dealing with a time traveling cop from now. And the cop from now, they're trying to find somebody and they're like, well, let's look at the finger. Let's look for fingerprints. And the cop from then, from LibPair, is like, well,
what's
fingerprints?
A fingerprint? What's that?
And he's like, you don't have a data, you know, you don't have a system that stores everyone's fingerprints. And he's like, well, I know the theory that each fingerprint is different, but there'd be so much blowback if anybody tried to store them all and use them against people that nobody would do it. Nobody would do business with that person.
Right, right. There's that. Although I do think that there is, you know, data collection and data, it's a tool. And I think that it's about how you're using it and who's using it. And if you didn't have a monopoly of force that had the power to use it for pretty much only evil, then you could have a situation where people might feel comfortable doing something like keeping a helmet cam or some kind of recording device that would record their daily interactions in case there was some dispute later to help resolve it. You know, like, hey, I said this, and so I shouldn't have had to pay you for that, and here's the proof.
Like,
you
know, it's like the Dave Chappelle bit. The pocket stenographer on
exactly.
Dave Chappelle. Yeah,
exactly. Or fights with your wife or whatever the case is. You know, I can see some kind of desire for that in people. And I think if the market was the one responding to that desire rather than political concerns responding to that fear, then you could have it and you would have people coming up with creative safeguards for it as well.
Yeah.
Like the company keeps all your data completely private with military grade encryption or else they go out of business because
nobody would do business with them. You know, when people say, I don't care if the government reads my email, I got nothing to hide. That's insane. But I think that without the government being able to send goons in based on misinterpreting something you say, I think I would probably say, I don't mind if Google reads my email if I get a benefit from it. Now, the benefit, I don't use Gmail because I really am creeped out by sending a love note to my wife and saying something about cat food and then getting an ad for cat food over on the side. That creeps me out. But if there was some benefit for it, like Google gave me, you know, bonus points where I could buy things for the privilege of them putting that ad there, and there wasn't a government Leviathan that could kill me for typing the wrong thing about cat food, I would probably be a lot cooler with it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there are things that give you benefits for stuff like that. There's a thing called Swagbucks, which is a search engine. Swagbucks for, I guess, for shut-ins or underemployed people. And if you use that as your exclusive search method, they give you a certain amount of swag points or swag bucks, I guess, that you can then use to buy things. So you let them snoop in on what you're searching, what you're watching, and in exchange for you letting them have that eye on you, you get a benefit from it. Now, the thing is you get to choose. Each individual in their own life chooses, I don't want to do the swag bucks. It's not worth it for me. Or you're like, yeah, whatever. I'll go ahead and do some searches mindlessly while I'm watching TV. It's not a big deal. And I'm totally down for getting $5 a week for doing it. You know, stuff like that. As long as the choice resides in the individual rather than in some legislative body or some tyrannical monopoly, then I don't think there's a problem with it.
I guess. I mean, a lot of what I do is just don't let people get it. Like, you and I use encrypted off-the-record messenger to talk to each other, and we're basically talking about the weather. I mean, basically, yeah. We like having IM. We'd rather do that than email things back and forth, especially during a show. And it's not much harder to set it up to be encrypted. And I don't even use encrypted email because I feel encrypted IM. First of all, I don't want strangers sending me encrypted information. I really don't. There's about 10 people on my IM list that I'm sure the government would want to know who they are and can probably figure out from data traffic packet analysis. But, you know, there's about 10 people that I want to have conversations with regularly, encrypted or not. But those are my friends on the Pigeon Trolla, as we call it. And if you want to know how to do that, we have some tutorials that we've written with some people who are really smart and vetted them and worked on them. We did about 40 man hours on each one. And if you go to the Freedom Fiends blog at freedomfiends.com and click on the kitty cat over on the right that says blog, kitty cat with the computer, and just search the word privacy, and you'll get our two articles, one on doing encrypted IM and one on doing encrypted email, if that's what you want to do. And I really encourage people to do that, because that's a lot more useful than sitting around and complaining about it and forwarding things to each other going, the government's spying on you. When, you know, smart people like Alex Jones were saying this 15 years ago. And like people like the John Birchers were saying this like 45 or 50 years ago. So it's not news, people. But really, you should be more interested in solutions than complaining about it. And another solution, we have an advertiser that makes encrypted phones. They're awesome. I've got a pair of them. And you could get them. What else we got? We got virtual private network, Bolehvpn, B-O-L-E-H, VPN.net. That can help obscure what you're searching. And I don't, you know, even if you don't have secrets, like I like to send love talk emails to my wife when she's at work, and we send them back and forth. And I don't want someone reading that. It's nothing about security or violence in them. It's like, hey, leave us alone. I don't want you reading me telling my wife the ways I want to love on her. It's none of your business, government.
Right. Right, exactly. And we'll be back from the market in just a bit.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing. Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Yeah, it's the Freedom Fiends live. We're back. It's Sunday, Father's Day. My wife got me a Father's Day shirt, even though my baby hasn't been born yet.
He's on his way. Baby's on his way.
Dad, cleverly disguised as a responsible adult. That's me.
You're getting a lot more responsible since I first met you, and it's good.
Ah, yes. I'm growing up. Tear.
You're still on Facebook, though, but...
Yeah, Facebook's awesome. I love Facebook.
No, it's not. CIA book. I love CIA book. And, you know, it really doesn't make that much difference in how much data is collected on us. And the government knows where we live, and they tap our phones. And they tapped our phones before they were tapping everybody's phones. That's how cool we are. But
Here's the thing. Is as long as you're aware of the things you're using and what they entail, and you use them appropriately, you're fine. Like, I don't put my business plans on Facebook or my personal finances or anything I wouldn't want anybody else to know. I treat it like the cell phone, which the way you're supposed to treat a cell phone is act like a cop is listening to every conversation you have. People have known about this for years.
Abby Hoffman said that. Abby Hoffman said in Steal This Book in the 60s, assume a cop is listening when you talk on the phone.
And there are cops in public. So, you know, I consider Facebook a public space, and it's important for me to network in that public space often. And so I treat it as such to get the benefits from it, and at the same time realize that it's a public space. So I don't have things like my address listed on it. I do have a phone number in case somebody wants to contact me. But, you know, I don't do things like some people do that. Like, they're like, oh, I'm at Chili's right now, or hey, I'm going on vacation for 3 weeks. Come feed my cat. My house will be unlocked. You know, I don't do stuff like that because I'm not an ignoramus.
I never leave my house, and I don't want to talk to anybody. I want to talk to the world in one direction, pretty much. I'm kind of like, we're the punk rock Rush Limbaugh, man. We're going to replace that guy. America needs a Chopper Rush out of me, which is a takeoff on, he has a really crude statement for sex change operations, that he, a chop of something out of me. And my wife said, the Freedom Fiends are a Chopper Rush out of me. So, yeah, I mean, I don't wish him any ill. And I agree with him about 20% of the time. I especially agree with him when he's talking about pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, and he's not yelling about why Republicans are better than Democrats, because these days they ain't, man. And we say that with all the love in the world, because Neem and I are registered Republicans. We've said that before. We just don't even bother voting anymore because there's no point in it.
Yeah. And about the lifting yourself up by your bootstraps, self-reliance is so important, but you're not getting it in a consistent manner if you believe in self-reliance and still believe in the state. The state is the opposite of self-reliance. The state is reliance on some big brother or federal family, Faja, that's going to control you and tell you what to do and beat you if it doesn't like what you're
doing. What is this Faja stuff? Is that like hip-hop for father? I'm too old. I don't know what that is.
It's a bad joke. It's from, what's that? Austin Powers, one of the bad guys, Goldfinger, keeps calling him Austin Powers Faja because he's got this weird, goofy German accent.
Yeah, you know, a problem with Facebook, other than that it has the report this button on every post, which I don't like, because it basically, you know, if you say something feisty on your own blog, someone actually has to copy and paste a URL and figure out who to report it to. On Facebook, there's a button for that, and it's basically, there's an app for that, for turning in your neighbors. And so much can be misinterpreted these days. And, you know, basically on Facebook, sometimes someone that doesn't like you because, you know, you got a cooler guitar or more cows or, you know, you got a better cat or a better looking wife or something, they just don't like you for some reason, and they just click report this because you said something feisty about the government. And, like, there are instances where someone clicking on that button has led to armed goons kicking in a door. I don't want to be somewhere that has a report this button.
You know, speaking of, since we have talked about all of this, you know, Facebook and the NSA and all the spying, both government agencies and corporations, which exist because of the state and the government. One thing we've missed so far today is Microsoft One or Xbox One.
I got more to say about Facebook. I wanted to finish up here before.
Okay.
And it's really kind of all the same tendrils of the beast. So there's really not that much difference. But I was at Beast Lick, Wyoming, which is right up the street from Beast Lake, Wyoming. And I was in this bar, just stopped in to use the bathroom and have a soda pop. I don't drink, but I went in there. I can go into a bar, and if I don't hang out at them, but I went into one.
I don't know what that is.
And I heard these two grizzled Wyoming cowboys. Like, you know, if you looked in the dictionary under cowboys, the pictures should look like these guys. They're really cool, older dudes, skinny, leathered faces, like people who actually, not like the hipsters in Austin that wear the cowboy hats and talk with a drawl, but these are like real cowboys. They were talking about some beef on Facebook. I thought it was pretty funny. And you said on my wife's birthday, oh, I can't wish your wife a happy birthday because she's not on Facebook. Totally, you weren't being ironic. You were. That's how dependent people are. And you, like the freedom fighter who said, oh, I can't. People wished.
Almost.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Not your dad's talk radio.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog The Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review The Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
This is the Freedom Fiends Live. Please say the whole thing. I am Nima Vedati, and we've got Michael W. Dean. We're going to talk about some other things anymore. We are sick of talking about the current NSA.
Yeah.
But there was tyranny in the past.
We told you so. And we did have another little item, the really quick follow-up from a previous day. We talked about how Google basically said, if the government... if our masters will let us, we'll tell you why we're not their slave. That was what we took from it. It was basically an article where they were saying, if the NSA lets us, we will release the information to show you that we're not beholden to the NSA, which is hilarious. So they released the information, and it basically shows, you know, basically their masters let them try to prove they're not slaves. And really what it just proved was that they're less of a slave than some people might have thought, but really more of a slave, but they're just giving less data directly. But it seems like the government can just take it anyway. So the thing is, this isn't new, and we're going to talk about how it goes back to the 60s. Now, I first got on the World Wide Web. I first had a web page in 1996, my website, kittyfeet.com, which I still have. It's now my interview blog, The Gumbo, or my interview podcast. And It was actually a blog before there was blogging software. I got on the internet in 91 using Gopher at the San Francisco Public Library, which was a pre-web system of getting information through a terminal. First time I touched a computer, I was 10. It was at my sister's college in 1974. I sat down at a computer terminal and played tic-tac-toe with somebody in a different city. That was pretty cool. And I actually went and learned some Fortran programming when I was about 12, so which was 1976. So I'm not new to computers like a lot of people out there. And there were inklings in the 60s and 70s of where this was headed. Now, let's have you read a little bit about punch cards. Now, if people don't know or aren't old enough to remember, that used to be a common media storage device. It was basically a piece of paper, about 7 inches long and about 4 inches high, 3.5 inches high, of kind of stiff card type paper that they put all these punch holes into. It was actually a technology from looms from the 1800s of the pattern that it would automatically weave. And we used to get our phone bill on a punch card, and we had to sign it and send it back. And it said, do not bend, fold, spindle, or mutilate on it. And actually, Abby Hoffman's book, Steal This Book, told you to punch holes in them to screw up the government beast. So nice. Even back then, people were looking at computers actually probably more so as a beast of the government than as a personal thing, because back then they didn't have personal computers. To use a computer, computers were so expensive and massive, and the time on them cost so much that there was time sharing, to where like you had to go write your program and then bring it to like Moses on the Mount. Like you bring it to these guys in lab coats on punch cards. They would put it in the computer, run it in the middle of the night when there was some time available, and the next day give you a printout of what your program had produced.
Kind of like the way where 3D printing is now, where you can take your software file to a 3D printing house. But 10, 20 years, you'll have one on your desk.
You'll have one on your iPhone. There's bad guys coming after me. I don't really like guns, but I'll just print one out right now and shoot them. Yeah.
There you go. But there was blowback against this in 64 and 65. according to the free speech movement, I guess they called it, they called punch cards a metaphor, a symbol of the system. First the registration system and then the bureaucratic systems more generally, a symbol of alienation. Punch cards were the symbol of information machines, and so they became the symbolic point of attack. And used for class registration, these punch cards were first and foremost a symbol of uniformity, and undergraduate groups railed against these, saying that, you know, we want to be more than just one out of 27,000 IBM cards. And this is according to Stephen Lubar on Wikipedia.
Yeah, I mean, think about the 1968 movie 2001 A Space Odyssey. The computer tries to kill the hero of the movie. And the computer's name was HAL, which was actually one letter off from IBM. H-A-L is one letter off in the alphabet from IBM. It was IBM.
Yeah,
you didn't know that?
Okay, I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know the HAL thing. No, no. Huh. Well, there you go. And didn't IBM start out as basically a government defense contractor, the way we think of Lockheed these days?
Yeah. They still are in a lot of ways. A lot of the defense contractors also do stuff for the general public. And part of it is to increase their bottom line. But I think part of it is to kind of embed with innocence, basically to make it impossible to make the company go away. You know, you can't say General Electric is the warmonger machine. We need to vote them out of existence, because then General Electric would say, all right, have fun without any light bulbs because we own the patent, you know? Yeah. Yeah. Nima's choking on the truth there, I think.
I think I was. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's interesting, too, because Microsoft, I feel like, embeds with innocence and still supports the police state so much. And I did want to bring up I talked to you a little bit about Xbox
think about,
One. But
wait, think but, about how against the government Bill Gates was when it suited him. He stood up in Congress and basically said, I don't need to answer your questions. I'm Bill Gates, yo. You know,
when the government was trying to go at him for the antitrust stuff.
Yeah, he said, he basically said, I'm paraphrasing, but his answer was basically, Microsoft is too powerful for you to come after. Go away. And they more or less went away. They gave him some slap on the wrist, but they pretty much went away.
But have you heard about how their new device is basically a telescreen?
Oh, it watches you. Yeah.
The Kinect is on, and ostensibly it's going to charge you more if you're watching a Netflix movie and it's only licensed to be viewed by four people.
Yeah.
And there's eight people in the room. It'll double charge you.
Yeah. I really think that kind of business model drives people to piracy. And with encryption and VPNs, there's pretty much no way to catch people doing piracy anymore, at least smart people. I mean, they will always go after the one out of 100,000 they can catch and go after them so hard. Like, you know, the 14-year-old girl who was learning disabled, and they sued her mother for $5 million. That's what they'll do, but that just makes them look like Scrooge McGrinch too anyway. They can't stop that. Really, I mean, we have ethical considerations of why we think that piracy shouldn't be a crime, but really that doesn't matter. It's more about what's doable, you know? I mean, you can outlaw guns, but there's still going to be guns. They've outlawed drugs, but there's more than ever, probably because they've outlawed them.
Yep. 100%, man. So it's a hamster wheel, right? I mean, that's what the state is. It's just in a hamster wheel that we all pay for, and it wants to keep running, so it keeps taking money from us so it can keep running and running and doing a bunch of ineffective stuff that will never achieve the ends they hope it to achieve, at least the stated goals. You know, I think it's also important to remember that if you think of the state in a certain way, it's actually really good at what it does. It's not this horrible, inefficient thing. Because what its real goal is to maintain its own power. And so far, it's done a really bang-up job of that.
There's a saying, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. And I would say that to anybody who's into central planning. And even if they don't believe in God, if you want to make the universe laugh, tell it your plans. I mean, you can't determine what's going to happen. You can train for things, you can do your best planning, but there's too many variables for any person or entity to try to keep all the ducks in the row without just causing chaos. It's kind of funny that statists use the term anarchy interchangeable with the word chaos, because to me, what the state does more and more and more too is chaos. It's violence, you know? And they say, well, without the government, there'd be violence in the street. No, there's already violence in the street, and they'd be running up into houses, yo, and bragging about it. The government does, you know, busting up peaceful people and shooting them and going into the wrong house doing it. But really, you know, peaceful interactions and voluntarism, and I believe that it only leads to peace and prosperity. And centrally planning stuff and pointing guns at people to make them do stuff people write down on paper only leads to violence in the streets, and that's where we're headed now. Now, let's talk about solutions, Nima. What's the solution?
I don't know, man. What do you think's the solution? To me, the solution is making people realize that interfering in processes that you know nothing about or will never know enough about, things that are too complex for one man or one group of men to push in any appropriate way with any effectiveness, that's just silly and it's wrong. And basing your actions on stuff like that, on stuff that amounts to basically the state, you'll always get, like you said, more chaos. It reminds me of my wife recently. Okay, so there's these stray cats, and one of them recently had kittens, and my wife really wanted to take those kittens and get the cat that had the kittens spayed so it wouldn't have more, because she wanted to prevent the overpopulation and yada yada yada. And so she hijacks these kittens, and I was against it from the beginning, and I was like, you know, you're interfering with stuff and you don't know what's going to work, you don't know how to take care of the kittens. And you know, kept the kittens overnight, but then realized that the kittens couldn't go to the bathroom because the mother licks the kittens in a certain way that makes them go to the bathroom, like a cat, a pee-pee kitty spot, instead of just a
Beast Lick,
cat spot.
Beast Lick, Wyoming. Yeah.
And so there's always going to be one thing you miss when you interfere with the natural process, when you denature a system. You don't know it. You weren't set up evolutionarily to deal with certain things. And so I say, let the people that are closest to the issue take care of it. Let the people that are the individual families take care of their own family finances, their own family defense, because they know more than you about their own situation. They know more than the state. They know more than the cops. They know more than the politicians about their own specific situation. And putting the power or the onus on some outside external group or person, you're never going to get a good result from that.
Yeah. Yeah, cats are a good analogy. I like moth and cat analogies for the state. And, you know, our cats are fixed. We got them fixed. We took care of our cats. We can't save all the cats in the world. Can't do it, man. And, you know, the thing about animals is if they have a use to man, I mean, man kind of runs the world. Man is the only two species that directly affect their environment are man and beavers. Beavers build dams and divert rivers. No other animal really does that the way it does to the human level that we do. So we're kind of the masters of the universe or whatever. And okay, I don't have a problem with that, but I think people need to be good stewards. And, you know, hunters are often some of the best environmentalists out there because they want to preserve animals to be able to shoot them and eat them. And the thing is, if an animal is useful to humans, it will never be extinct, you know? And things outlawing shooting an animal for its ivory because it's endangered. No, let people breed, get out of the way and let people breed those things for their ivory. I mean, cats brought themselves into humanity. Cats domesticated themselves because they ate mice that hung around grain reserves. And they're useful to people because they're lovable and they're good pets. Whereas dogs were domesticated by people. Cats you couldn't do that with. Cats would just be like, no, man, leave me alone. I'm a cat. Cats are libertarians.
It's their choice. Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. As y'all know, this is the last segment of hour two. As such, it is time for the Freedom Fiends Tweak and Review. And to start off, we've got a NSA is spying on you. We told you so. Sorry, but we were right. You people that said, nuh-uh, you were wrong. And it's important to note that their admittance now that they can just pick a call and listen to it, that's just damage control, man. That's them being called out on something and being like, yeah, I guess we can do that. Imagine what could be going on that's even worse than that, that is has still has some level of extra secrecy. It reminds me of when I was a kid and I would get in trouble and I would tell a lie that was somewhat similar to the truth of what I really was doing so that I could hide what I was doing that was much worse. That to me seems like what the NSA is going for here. Some people get it wrong on the NSA, even though they proclaim to be good little libertarians. Instead, they are focusing on practical arguments as far as what's good and what makes an efficient state for libertarian public policy, rather than being libertarian because they are believers in the non-aggression principle first and realizing that the state violates that by its very nature. So Stossel says, well, if the NSA is halfway competent, maybe sometimes they could stop a terrorist attack. A, I don't think there's any known example of that. B, terrorist attacks still happen. And C, collecting data on everybody all the time is counterproductive to actual detective work and finding real criminals, because then you have a needle in a billion haystacks in a warehouse in Utah full of haystacks, rather than trying to find it the appropriate police work typey way. So Stossel, you're wrong on that. And Stossel also says, I'm more worried about Google spying on me. It creeps me out because they put ads on my stuff. Michael's also creeped out by stuff like that, but me, I'm not, man. If Google wants to target to me, that's fine, because I can ignore it. You know, most of the dancing baloney on websites, I ignore anyway. And if it's something I'm obsessed with, like my PreSonus 2 preamplifier, I'd like to look at it. I like that Google knows I'm interested in it and will put up an ad so I can look at its prettiness.
Gear porn.
Exactly. So that kind of stuff doesn't bug me, and the corporate kind of stuff doesn't bug me as much as the state kind of stuff, because in the end, it's up to you to decide the product or not. And no matter how they try to persuade you, persuasion doesn't violate the non-aggression principle. There's nothing wrong with persuasion, because you can counter it with your own mental fortitude at any time, whereas the NSA has access to SWAT teams and the CIA and drones, things that you can't really counter. You know, another good example of spying in a libpair sense, or spying that you can choose to participate in, is Swagbucks. It's a search engine where they track all of your searching so that they can sell that information to companies. And you decide if you participate. And if you participate, you get benefits. You get Swagbucks that you can then go out and spend on Amazon goods. Also, with regard to corporate spying and stuff like that, and IP things like Xbox One's Kinect that could have the ability to charge you extra if too many people are watching a Netflix movie or however they sell their movies. Link from our chat room says, when piracy works better than the legal model, piracy will be the preference. And he's completely right, man. It's all up to what the individual is willing to do. And if the individual isn't willing to have his viewing habits spied on and charged extra, then he's going to figure out an efficient way to pirate that media instead. And there are tons of ways you can do it without being tracked. VPNs, anonymous browsers like
and
Tor.
We're not recommending piracy. We're just saying there's ways people can do that, and it yes. cannot be stopped.
Right. And that will be the preference when the IP, quote, legal structure becomes too ornery for regular people to even jive with. All right. Also, CIA vaccine blowback. As we said a few episodes ago, there can be consequences for actions the state takes. One of those things is the CIA was doing a fake vaccination program, ostensibly to help them track Osama bin Laden. They set up fake vaccination programs, and now people in Pakistan have actually started shooting people doing vaccine programs. And people are citing the CIA vaccine program as one of the possible motivations for that. So the lesson in this, mind your own business. And don't jive with government folks who are not minding their own.
And Google the phrase non-aggression principle.
Yeah. Thank you so much, fiends. We'll see you next week.
Worms.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's
all right. Jeez, have a good one, huh?
Thanks, man.
Thanks, homie.
Yep. Talk to you.
Bye.